Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan baby, Black Diamond Group mothership, and a beautiful green nutrient field. What a day, what a month, what a year. Craig Russell, the muscle. Welcome back to the show.
What a crazy football weekend it's been, Todd, and what a beautiful weekend. Getting ready for firearm season to start in November, but it's archery season starts tomorrow for deer hunters. You pumped up about that?
Absolutely. And for those about to rock, we salute you. Open the show with AC/DC. We want all the men and women and the young children out there, individuals of all age, be safe out there in the woods, look out for one another, and just have a great hunt. What else can I say?
What else can you say? How you doing? How was the shred in the gnar last weekend?
Last weekend, it was Marquette, Michigan for the Margie Gizek. I had my child up there with me, and I started the race, made it 100 yards, and had to DQ myself. And I have it on YouTube, a GoPro video. If you go to YouTube and type in Todd Levitt, not the show YouTube, but just my own personal YouTube channel, I have a video there starting off with my buddy Jake. I went 100 yards. The back just wasn't having it. I wasn't healed yet. I could have done it this weekend. And I went 100 yards and DQ'd. I thought Todd Poquette was going to have the fastest DQ'er in the race, but that wasn't the case. But my good friend Dave Kate, fellow attorney at law, love Kate, Vinny, Andrew. Dave, it took him 23 hours to complete the race.
That's crazy. Well, I'm sorry your back wasn't feeling well last weekend. I'm glad you're feeling better this weekend. We got a huge show today. Big show.
This show is going to be huge. We have Vape 2.0. Rachel Levitt, that is, soon to be attorney, took the bar exam, waiting for results, a.k.a. Todd Jr., is joining us in the mothership, and she has some vape updates. The last week's show, Craig, was the most downloaded show we have ever had in the history of this show. And we want to thank all the listeners out there who take the time, not just in the state of Michigan, but all over the country and the world, to download and listen to this show. And we're going to ask you, whichever podcast platform you listen to the show, if you would please copy and paste the link, put it on your social media pages, and ask your friends to tune in and listen to the show. We are really growing in listeners and downloads, and we have a long way to go, and we really appreciate your support. In the United States, after Michigan, the great state of Ohio, followed by California, is where we get the most downloads for our shows on Libsyn, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, Android app. So whichever platform you're listening on, please copy and paste to your social media. Ask your friends to do so, and let's grow the listeners, Craig. How about that?
It's really easy to do, especially like on SoundCloud and iTunes. And, of course, it's free to listen to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, but it's even more rewarding when you share it with a friend. That's always the best thing. And you're right. You know, the vaping episode last week got more downloads than any other show we've ever done, so more vaping information. I seem to remember something in the pre-production meeting of the show this week that you had a complaint about something. I know it's hard to believe, but you have a complaint about something?
I've got a complaint. It took place at a grocery store. Go figure that, Craig. Todd Levitt has a complaint at a grocery store. And Here's the deal. I get out of the grocery store. I'm in my truck, and I'm, you know, looking at my phone. I'm just doing some stuff. I'm looking at some files because it was the middle of the day. There was a car parked in front of me facing the way my truck was. So the two front ends of our vehicles were looking at each other. Well, in the other vehicle was an elderly man and a lady, approximately the same age, in her late 60s. I couldn't really tell, to be honest. And they're leaving the store. We both got into our vehicles at the same time. Now, my keys were not even in the ignition to the point where I had to start my truck. Their vehicle was running, and they're sitting there glaring at me, waiting for me to back up so they can just pull straight forward. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at them, and I'm not going anywhere. There's no law or requirement that says that once I get in my vehicle, I need to back out right away so the vehicle facing me can then pull forward without them having to back up. I looked up. Honest to goodness, is a true story. This went on for 3 minutes. I was not leaving. I mean, I was not even moving. It got to the point where I started my truck. I put my sunglasses on. I turned on the radio, you know, 98.5 WUPS, which we love, Black Diamond Group Station. And AC/DC was playing. For those about to rock, we salute you. I rolled down my windows, and I'm going to tell you something. My truck was bumping. It was bumping and bumping. That truck was lit. And those individuals were just not happy because ultimately they had to back out. I was not moving, Craig. I mean, give me a break. I mean, people, get a grip. You know, you pulled in. You had to back out. You knew that when you pulled in. It's not pull in and then go forward. If I wasn't sitting here, they could have pulled forward. But they were just not happy with me. I was under no ethical obligation whatsoever. And I like to do things the way things should be done, you know, proper etiquette, so on and so forth. I like to open doors for ladies. You know, I let them speak first, order first, that type of stuff. In this case, I wasn't budging.
You know, the only thing that's worse about that is when somebody is waiting for you to pull out and they want to come in and take your spot, and they're just sitting there and they're waiting. Like, you come out of the store and you could see them. They see that you're coming to your car and they sit there and they wait for you. They've got their turn signal on because they want to take your spot. It's like, you know what? I am not going to get any quicker. I'm not going to get out of my spot any quicker than I have to just because you're sitting there waiting. Most people will just, you know, take off. I can't believe those people sat there for 30 minutes waiting for you to pull out. Just back out. Why is that such a big deal? What is up?
You know, by the time these folks, the time they took to look at me waiting for me to back out so they could pull forward, they could have been home already depending upon where they lived. I mean, give me a break. And then the next day, I'm on my way to Midland Court from Mount Pleasant to Midland. And for those listening around the country, it's approximately a 25-minute drive from our town to Midland, Michigan. And the road is straight. They cut this road in a straight line. And it's a two-lane highway, so there's four lanes. Two going one way to the west, two going to the east. I'm heading east. There were two cars in front of me. They were both going the exact same speed limit. And I'm in the left lane, you know, trying to get where I'm going. I'm not saying I'm speeding, but these cars were not budging. I mean, Craig, this went on for almost a mile and a half. They didn't even know each other because I was watching to see if they were having a conversation. And let me tell you something. That just annoyed the piss out of me. And all I have to say, for those about to rock, we salute you. Hey, we have a huge show. We're going to be talking about Vape 2.0 with my daughter, who's about to become an attorney. We've got some ignition interlock protocol. We've got a whole lot to get to, Craig.
We do. We need to take a break. But remember, wherever you're podcasting and listening to the show, maybe if you're not listening to it on 98.5 UPS or Rock 105, Rock 95, 95.5 in Michigan, we just rock. But say you're listening to it in Georgia, or you're listening to it in Indonesia or California or Ohio or wherever you're listening, remember to share this link on your social media, whether it be Twitter, whether it be Facebook, whatever you use for social media, share. Sharing is caring, Todd. That's what they always say. Sharing is caring. Help us out and help more people find out the show. Coming up, next segment of the show, are we going to talk with Rachel in the next segment?
You got it. In fact, she's going to bring us back from the segment right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Craig, take us to break. I've got to do some rocking and some turning and burning with AC/DC, and we'll be right back.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. My name is Rachel Marie Levitt, Little Todd, and I am here in the mothership. How you doing, Craig?
Wow, I was confused there for a second. I thought Todd's voice changed a lot.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does.
Like in just a couple of minutes. How are you doing, Rachel? How are you liking it in the big air chair there doing the Todd L. Levitt Law Show there?
It's big shoes to fill. However, I think I can handle it, Craig.
I'm pretty sure you can. I think people far less talented have been in that chair doing things in the studio than you. So I think you'll be just fine.
You know, I have Todd's DNA, so I really can't mess this up.
No, you really can't. It's impossible to, trust me. Coming up on the show, we've got some updates Todd said about ignition lock system protocol, but you've got information about vaping. This is Vape 2.0. We did our big vaping show last week. What do you have to tell people about vaping?
So listen, I sit here today. I'm not telling the listeners, you know, go out, buy vapes, give them to your kids. Of course I'm not saying that. I'm just looking at the facts, okay, Craig? And the facts are that the University of Michigan, their college, they did a study, okay? And the study said that the benefits of vaping to quit smoking cigarettes far outweigh the health risks of youth moving from electronic to traditional cigarettes. And that's just the facts. And then on the other side of that, you know, you look at what communities are doing to combat vape use, and I'm not blaming them. I understand parents want to protect their kids, but, you know, hospitals are giving seminars to parents on how their kids can quit smoking. Some schools are going as far as to banning flash drives, USBs on a laptop. That is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. I'm sorry, but what, Craig? Really? What?
You know, it's part of it is the unknown. A lot of people don't know as much about vaping as they do about traditional cigarettes. There have been study after study after study because traditional cigarettes have been around for hundreds of years. Vaping's only been around for a little over 10 years. When people don't know about something, that's when they get very defensive and get very questioning about it. It's true, and I can't believe that going from cigarettes to vaping or then trying to go back to regular cigarettes would be smart. I think vaping has got to probably be a smarter alternative than regular cigarettes. But again, people just don't know because there hasn't been enough studies done.
Right, exactly. And I do agree. However, I think that the fact that the University of Michigan finally came out with a study, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Let me go back to what I just said about the flash drives. For our listeners who don't know much about vaping, some vapes look like flash drives. And some companies are doing that on purpose, the vape companies, so that younger kids and whatnot are allowed to bring the vapes into schools. But, you know, when you look at the studies, these vapes aren't killing kids like cigarettes are. And I don't want to go too far to stretch the facts. I'm just saying that's all we know as of now, and that's just how I feel about it. I read that one high school, I think it was New Jersey, something like that, they even took the windows out of the bathrooms because they thought that that would reduce the chances of kids going in there and puffing away on their vape. So they took it pretty far.
I mean, vaping, you know, there's people I know in office settings who can use vape because obviously it's not smoke, it's vapor, it's water. I wonder if, first place, do you know on that University of Michigan study, how old are the part of the study, how old were the kids? Did they go to 18 or did they go younger to do the study?
I'm not sure. However, Craig, the results of the study, you can actually look these up in the print in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research. So, you know, if anyone wants to look this up and read up on it, that'd be great because now we have the facts right in front of us. And the study actually said, and this is really interesting to me, that nearly 3.3 million life years could be saved by the year of 2070 from this if people go to vaping to quit smoking cigarettes. 3.3 million life years.
Well, it's true, because there's the thing. When you're smoking a cigarette, cigarette has chemicals in it, and it also has the nicotine, which makes it habit-forming. Vaping doesn't necessarily have to have any of those things. And it still gives you some of the whatever the satisfaction you would get of smoking, you still get it. I'm not saying you should vape or versus smoking or anything like that, but you can obviously see there are substantial differences between smoking a cigarette and using a vape product where vaping could be safer.
And here's some food for thought for the listeners. I read some people claiming in news articles that the reason that vapes are so dangerous is because you can put things into them like marijuana. So I'm just wondering, are people really saying that vapes are so bad because kids can smoke marijuana? I'm not sure. It's just food for thought.
You know, again, it's because it's the fear of the unknown. They don't know. Rachel, now I have a question for you before I ask you. I have a couple of questions. First place, is there any way you could replace Todd? Because I like having you on the show a lot more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Hey, you took.
No, Craig, it's done.
It's done?
It's done.
It's the Rachel M. Levitt Law Show now. Yes. Hey, you took the bar and you're going to become an attorney. Talk a little bit about that. What are you? What kind of law are you practicing?
Well, Craig, before I answer that, let me back up and just say for everyone listening, you know, I do not want anyone to go out and break the law, any minors to be doing things that are illegal I'm not telling people to go buy vapes. I personally don't vape myself, but a lot of my friends do. I just want kids to be safe out there, and I'm just discussing the facts with you.
And that's what this whole show is about, is education. Trust me, that's what it's
absolutely
about.
So I just graduated law school. I was living in Chicago. I got exposed to a lot of crazy things in Chicago. It was amazing. Believe me, it's great to be back in mid-Michigan alongside my dad. You know, it's been great. So I worked for a family law firm for a few years, and family law is everywhere, and it was really great to build that foundation and learn how to help people going through really tough situations. Also, a little brag here. I was on the Moot Court Honors Council, so I got to help people craft their oral arguments, and they would go and compete in front of panels of judges around the United States. So, you know, that gives me a little bit of street cred. Also, I worked and did some civil law, actually a lot of civil law. So I was exposed to some crazy lawsuits. Of course, I would never get into the details. Also, one of the things that I'm most proud of, I was the president of the Fair Housing Student Association. And, you know, I'm not going to get into it right now, but Chicago has some really bad, bad problems with fair housing issues. So I'll definitely be back in the upcoming weeks and hopefully years, and I'll be discussing these issues with you and other topics of law.
And Rachel, you know, a lot of times lawyers get bad rap when it comes to some things, but really when it comes right down to it, the reason you wanted to become a lawyer is you wanted to help people, right?
Absolutely. I want to help people. And you know what I say to people who think that lawyers are liars and whatnot, or, you know, that they're bad people? I say, okay, if you want help selling your house, who are you going to call? If you want to write a will, who are you going to call? I'm just trying to show people that lawyers do everything. They're not the bad guys. You know, we're just here to help people, and just lawyers are needed.
And obviously you learned that from your dad. So it's great to have you on the show. I know you'll be back on the show. When we come back from break, AC/DC will take us back, but Todd will be back to talk more about ignition interlock protocol and much more law and more vaping. Thanks for being on the show, Rachel.
Absolutely. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting and podcasting from a green nutrient field in the middle of the Mitten. So proud of my firstborn child, who is soon to be a licensed attorney, shredding the gnar and destroying her opponents in the courts all over the state and wherever else she will be licensed to practice law. Hey, Craig, great updates on vaping during the last segment. One of our listeners, his name is Jake Lancaster. He wants me to tell you that he enjoys listening to the show each and every time we podcast it. He's a fan of yours and a fan of the show, along with Jenna. And we appreciate Jake Lancaster, great soccer player, great young man, listening to the show.
Thanks, Jake. And, you know, you're talking about Rachel there. You know, boy, when you don't want to do the show anymore, I think not only is she going to be a great attorney, but she's got a great career in podcasting and broadcasting as well. So
absolutely. I think that would definitely be a given there. Craig, big shout out once again to our friends to the north, because Michigan is a border state bordering Canada. The Ontario government is now going to allow pot smoking wherever tobacco smoking is allowed. So Ontario residents will now be able to smoke recreational cannabis wherever the smoking of tobacco is permitted. Canada has a very progressive, conservative government, and they're loosening the rules establishing these laws that were put in place by the prior regime that oversaw the, you know, the Canadian justice system. So that's pretty cool. And the government will also not put a cap on marijuana shops once it starts to license and regulate the retail marketplace. That's what we need to do in this country. We're going to get some pushback on this, Craig. You could drive down any block in the state of Michigan and almost any other state, and you have party stores and convenience stores that sell liquor and alcohol. And there's still so many townships and communities that will not opt in to the new recreational cannabis laws that the states are allowing to provide medicine, relief, and products to their local citizens. It's ridiculous. And we talk about it every week on the show. I'm not going to get into it, but it's unbelievable.
I think with everything, Todd, it's going to change when people start to see the money that can be made. Not only in states where recreational marijuana has been legal now and they're starting to reap the benefits, billions of dollars a year in tax revenue, I think the Canadian government already sees that. Here's a great way to make a product that is now going to be legal. They're going to treat it just like they treat regular tobacco. They're going to treat it just like they treat alcohol. They're going to make a ton of money off that. And I'm convinced once townships, municipalities in the state of Michigan start to see the money that can be made just by allowing people to do something that is legal inside the borders of our state, I think it's going to change a lot of things.
Abso-frickin-lutely. And for those about to rock, we salute you. I'm just turning it and burning it with AC/DC all afternoon today on my top five playlist this week. AC/DC, Imagine Dragons, they got a great new tune out. I'm going old school Metallica. Right back to the beginning, listening to some of their early albums. What have you been listening to this week, Craig?
I have been listening to a lot of Van Halen. Van Halen, I went out and got a couple of Van Halen albums from the way back in the closet. And at the radio station, we've got ourselves an old turntable. And I've been firing it up and been playing that and jamming that out in the studio when I've had a chance. It's really taking me back to high school. I know we played Van Halen a couple of weeks ago or last week on the show, and that's what made me kind of think, I need to listen to some more old Van Halen. But I tell you, that David Lee Roth, he was not only a showman, but a great vocalist as well. And man, I love the Van Halen.
I love David Lee Roth. Sammy Hagar, he tried. I mean, I just love Sammy in general. I love his music. One of my all-time favorite groups, Dokken. I can never get enough of Dokken. We have to play more Dokken on the show. I just want to say Dokken.
I think you just like saying Dokken.
Dokken. Craig.
Todd.
A number of states around this country are requiring individuals to operate motor vehicles under certain circumstances with what's called an ignition interlock device in their motor vehicles. In the state of Michigan, there are half a dozen, if not more, reasons why an individual would be required to operate a vehicle with one of these devices installed in the vehicle. One of the more prevalent reasons is that in Michigan, as with some other states, If you have two alcohol convictions within a 7-year period, your license is going to get denied and revoked. It's gone. See you later. After a period of 1 year that goes by, you can petition through the Department of State in front of an attorney that represents the state and seek restricted driving privileges. If that attorney finds that you meet the burden of proof by clear and convincing evidence that you're sober and likely to remain sober, then the individual will be granted a restricted license, but you'll be required to do so with an ignition interlock device installed in whichever motor vehicle you're operating. What's very important to understand with these devices, if you are granted a restricted license, you cannot be operating a motor vehicle without a device in that vehicle. If you're utilizing a vehicle that belongs to a friend or a loved one, they can still use the vehicle, but they'll be required to blow into the device. The state of Michigan is now using camera ignition interlock devices. And there are a number of things that these individuals have to follow in order to be successful. And then after a period of 1 year, they can apply for full licensing through the state of Michigan. There are minor violations that result in using these devices. If there is a minor violation, the driver will receive a 3-month extension before you can request for full licensing. There are major violations also that will result in the state reinstating the original revocation. I just want to mention a few of these. A rolling retest failure, Craig. Do you know what a rolling retest failure is?
I don't.
In order to start the motor vehicle in the morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're going to operate it, you have to turn the key, and then the device is going to require you to blow into this device. You know, you put it up to your mouth, and you have to, you know, give a good breath of oxygen. As long as you clear it with all zeros, the vehicle will start. And you're on your way to work or family dinner, wherever you're going. It could ask you again within the next 10 minutes to provide another sample. So you're blowing again. If you miss that blow, it's considered a major violation, and you're going to receive a letter from the state of Michigan indicating that they're now revoking that restricted license, and you're entitled to a hearing that you have to apply for within 14 days. So if you have one of these devices or you know someone that has one installed, make sure they never miss one of those rolling retests. Extremely important.
Let me ask you a question, Todd. So because is the reason that they do that after, say, like 10 minutes is because most people have a restricted license. You're probably supposed to be just going to work. You're not really supposed to be out pleasure driving. You're supposed to be going to a specific place. And if they think after 10 or 15 minutes of you driving, you shouldn't have any alcohol in your system, you should be able to just go ahead and blow a 000 again. Is that correct?
Well, okay, that's partially correct. The reason for the retest is before the camera devices were required by law, let's say, for instance, an individual had consumed alcohol the night before, the morning of, prior to getting behind the vehicle. Now they're getting in the vehicle. They know they're going to blow dirty, so they have somebody else blow into the device. Then they hop in the car and start driving it. Well, 10 minutes later, they're the only one in the vehicle. They're going to have to blow again. But the state got wise to this, so they require now camera devices. You follow what I'm saying here? It used to be that if somebody was drinking, they would have somebody else blow into the device or even take them all the way to work that was sober. I mean, the state, they've heard all the excuses. They had thousands of these cases. I've done probably 5,000 plus license restoration cases over the year and about 1,000 plus violation hearings, if not more. The state of Michigan is exhausted. These attorneys have heard every excuse in the book. One of the other violations is tampering and circumventing with the device or the motor vehicle. It was at some time an individual would wake up intoxicated. He or she knew they had to get to work. They had no other form of transportation, so they would try to blow into the device with, you know, a BAC limit on in their system. Well, they would blow into the device soon after arriving at work. They would disconnect the battery and claim that they had, you know, some kind of vehicle malfunction. So again, batteries do fail. These devices do provide what's called a false positive. They're computer systems. They are faulty. I've seen just as many problems with these devices where people are falsely accused as I have with individuals who actually, unfortunately, I don't judge, can't stop drinking and they have to blow into the devices and it registers with alcohol.
Another question that I would have is, And I don't know if we'll be able to have time to do it before we take a break, but I'll ask it anyway. Now, with the possibility of recreational marijuana becoming legal in Michigan and in other states, will there end up being a time where one of these interlock devices or a camera device will be able to measure what kind of THC you have in your system? Because obviously, if it's a legal product like alcohol is legal, you can still abuse it and it could still cause issues and could still cause accidents and still cause you to be pulled over and have your driving privileges restricted. Is that something that's going to happen in the near future?
The answer is absolutely. In fact, there are a number of companies around the world, especially in this country, that are in development stages of marijuana breathalyzers that aim to detect drivers who have certain levels of THC on their breath. I have a problem with this. As an attorney, again, it goes to your constitutional rights potentially being violated, Fourth Amendment issues. When somebody requests that you blow into a device, to me, it's an intrusion into your person, and there's Fourth Amendment issues there. So once these devices hit the market, there'll be attorneys such as myself who will, you know, fight the good fight on behalf of the people. Now, I'm not recommending that anyone out there operate any type of equipment, including a motor vehicle, truck, motorcycle, or otherwise, with any levels of any prescribed or non-prescription medication in their system as such that their ability to operate that vehicle is impaired, and they're going to put someone else's life in danger, including themselves and passengers. But what I am saying is, you know, our constitutional rights have been just destroyed by the higher courts in this country when it comes to operating a motor vehicle. And that's because it's in the public's best interest when you have a vehicle that is, you know, moving from point A to point B, and the driver of the vehicle can readily destroy evidence. So that's why our constitutional rights on the Fourth Amendment have been destroyed by these higher courts in regards to, you know, search and seizure and some of your rights being quashed. I mean, we should do a show on that in the next month. In fact, we will do a show on Fourth Amendment rights when it comes to motor vehicles. But you're correct. There are a number of devices out there that are being tested in regards to testing, you know, the THC level, the psychoactive component of marijuana that causes someone to be high, if you want to put it that way. The Draeger device, which we use in the state of Michigan, we refer everyone to Nationwide Interlock for the alcohol monitoring once I reinstate the restricted driving privileges. Draeger has been working on a device. I mean, you could go online and there's all types of devices out there. But once again, how are these devices, if you're going to blow into it, it's going to detect THC on your breath. I don't know the science behind it, but I would like to know the science behind it as an attorney and the analysis they're going to use. Those devices are going to be attacked in courts all over the country, you know, time and time again, until at some point they get it right.
Great information from Todd L. Levitt, as always, especially when it comes to protecting your rights. And remember, if you ever have a situation where you're in jeopardy of losing your driver's license, or you get pulled over, or maybe this past weekend you had a little too much to drink, Todd is a driver's license restoration specialist when it comes to attorneys. You can always call his office, 989-772-6000, or centralmichiganlawyer.com if you have any questions about that. Or you can always email the show, toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com. Hey, Todd, we got to take a break. What do we have coming back for the last segment?
Well, we've got some more interlock usage recommendations, just a few of those. And I want to touch a little bit more on the pot breathalyzer, as some are calling it, or the THC breathalyzer. I have a little bit more information for our listeners out there right here on the Todd and Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with AC/DC for those of you about to rock. What do we do, Craig?
We salute you.
We'll be right back.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting and podcasting from the mothership in the middle of the Mitten, pure Michigan baby, from a beautiful green nutrient field. Last segment, we're going to finish strong. Craig, big shout out to my good friends, Rich Cooper and his father, Dean Cooper, D&D Asphalt out of Midland, Michigan. They actually work all over the state of Michigan, but I'm telling you right now, what a professional company. If you're looking for commercial asphalt, residential, there's no one that does a better job. These are really good people. They're a great family. Rich Cooper, D&D Asphalt, together with his father, Dean. I'm going to give out the number, 989-835-4011. 989-835-4011, D&D Asphalt. Shameless plug for my good friend, Rich Cooper. Amazing company. I mean, you know, they just do a job and they do it right. And, you know, we want to drive our vehicles on asphalt that is smooth, and no one does it better. So big shout out to those fine people, and they listen to the show as well, Craig.
That's awesome. We always love it when people listen to the show. Remember, sharing is caring. If you end up hearing the show on podcast, share it on your social media. Share the link so we can get more people to listen to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Back to what we were talking about, the interlock devices. You had more information about that.
Yeah, but before we get to the interlock device, if we have time, I want to talk about, again, about these marijuana breathalyzers that aim to detect high drivers with, you know, up and down our highways. The issue I have is, you know, individuals, everybody's built differently, obviously, you know, based on your weight and your fatty cells, what you ate, how you react to certain things. So if you set a THC level at a certain time, that doesn't necessarily mean somebody who's using the psychoactive THC is going to be, you know, impaired and operating a motor vehicle to the extent that they're causing a danger to him or herself and those on the road. That's the issue I have. Now, in the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, the legal limit for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated or visibly impaired is 0.08. In the state of Michigan, we are at 0.08. It used to be 0.10. And that's the legal limit for when the law considers someone intoxicated. Now, when it comes to THC, how are you going to set those levels? That's my concern. And again, there's a lot of good companies out there that are working on these devices. They're very professional. They got, you know, great men and women who are trying to make the science just right. I'm not knocking these devices per se, but my concern is for the citizens, it's for the people, it's for those who are going to have their constitutional rights violated while lawyers are working this out in the lower courts and then all the way up to the higher courts. There's always going to be the men and women at the bottom who are going to suffer until the science is where it should be. That's my concern, Craig. Every individual is different. I could drink a beer and be fine. You could drink a beer and be intoxicated. You could, you know, smoke a joint and you could be, you know, flying all over the place depending upon, you know, the THC level and the strain and what it is you're smoking. Other individuals could smoke that same strain and they're just fine. My concern is, where are you going to set those THC levels for these devices? That's my concern, as well as the Fourth Amendment to illegal search and seizure, because when an officer requests that you submit to a chemical test, you know, that's an intrusion into your person. In the state of Michigan, there's something called implied consent. If an officer has enough probable cause to request someone submit to this breathalyzer test to detect alcohol, you cannot refuse. A refusal results in a one-year suspension of your Michigan driving privileges. So again, I have a lot of concerns, but there's a lot of good companies out there, men and women working on these products. I just want to get it right. Enough of violating the constitutional rights of the citizens. We say it every week. We support law enforcement. You know, they're just men and women out there doing their job, and they're just following the laws that are set in place by the men and women who are in the legislatures, the houses and the Senate, in the states in which you sit. So don't go knocking law enforcement regarding these issues, because I'm telling you, as a defense attorney, I am a defense attorney, that it goes back to where the laws are enacted in the first place. Officers are just doing what they're supposed to do, following the law. Yes, do they have discretion? Absolutely. But again, where do you think the laws start? Officers don't create these laws. They're brought up in committees and, you know, big money and interest groups. They start in your state house. They pass the house. They go to the Senate. They come back to the house for more committees, more amendments, more drafting. And then the governor takes a look at it in the state in which you live in, and he or she will decide, okay, we're going to sign this into law. I'm just saying right now. But again, my concern, I can't say it enough, is to protect the constitutionality of my constituents, which are the people of the state of Michigan and this great country of ours, Craig, because we're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. What are we, Craig?
We're Americans.
We're Americans, first and foremost. Amen.
My question is a couple of things. First place, what happens if you're like, say you're having an edible with marijuana or cannabis or THC? How is the breathalyzer going to be able to judge that? And do you think it's possible that they'll just say, if you have any THC in your person when these units are developed, that that will be what causes the problem? Not the level of it, but just any in general.
Again, Craig, you're bringing up valid issues, but as more states are legalizing use of marijuana, there's more and more engineers out there who help to solve one of these concerns. How can police keep, I'll just say it this way, the way they would say it, high drivers off the road? Again, look, I'm a defense attorney. That's what I've done for 25 years, but I still don't recommend anybody out there do anything illegal. We all know how we react when we participate in using our medicines. Whether it's marijuana, medical marijuana, you're taking Vicodin, Xanax, you know how you are. You need to police yourself, and we need to police each other. Do not let someone you love operate any equipment or motor vehicle while they're intoxicated. They're putting everybody at risk. But with that being said, my concern is, how are these devices going to detect the molecules in the saliva? That's my concern. Molecules in the saliva. I don't see any other way. Officers, I believe in some states who suspect marijuana intoxication, could use a cotton swab to wipe inside the driver's mouth. And these do exist and are called, podalizers. And they put them on a smartphone or a laptop. Again, these are devices that are being tested right now. Typically and currently, officers rely on blood, breath, or urine tests that aren't always accurate. And saliva tests do exist, but they're also not completely accurate. That's my concern as a defense attorney. So it's going to take some time to get these devices right to show the THC in certain ranges. I mean, they go by nanograms, Craig. Nanograms per milliliter of saliva is how these devices are going to work. And I'm concerned. I mean, what if your saliva contains something that triggers a false positive and the device registers it as a high nanogram, but it's a false positive? There's so many concerns I have in regards to the Fourth Amendment on behalf of the citizens of each state all over our beautiful country, including the state of Michigan, which, by the way, recreational cannabis is going to be on a ballot in November. If you're not registered to vote, you better get out and vote. If you're against it, then vote it. Don't vote for it. If you're for it, then vote for it. 60% of the citizens of the great state of Michigan overwhelmingly supported the medical marijuana program. So my belief is that in a few months, Craig, recreational cannabis is coming to the state of Michigan.
And you brought up a really important point. We have to mention this before the show's over. Get registered to vote. Whether you agree with Todd, whether you don't agree with Todd, whether you agree with anybody or not, the only way you have a way to say about what happens in your state, in your country, and in your world is to make sure you exercise your right to vote. That's how you can make real change in this world one way or the other. So make sure you get registered to vote. Stop into a Secretary of State's office to find out more. You can go online. There's plenty of places, but make sure you are registered to vote. Todd, I hate to do this to you. The show is over. We're all done.
Craig, I knew you were going to say that before we leave the mothership here in the beautiful green nutrient field. Again, I want to thank everyone out there who downloads the show. It is a radio show. We broadcast on 98.5 WUPS, Rock 105, 95.5 out of Traverse City. Also, we take that version of the radio show and it's up on podcast, heard in 24 countries all over the beautiful United States of America. Whichever podcast platform you're listening to this show on, we're asking you if you would kindly copy and paste the link, post it on your social media. We're just trying to grow our listenership. We've been told that people love the information we're providing. And one thing I want to mention, Craig, we're not a political show. That's why you don't hear us talking about some of the things that are taking place on cable TV and in the media. We're just here to give advice. We're here to advocate and represent the interests of the citizens and support the great Constitution of ours. That's all I got, Craig. We got to go, Craig. We're not just litigators. We're advocators. Take us out with a little AC/DC, baby.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, Mackinac Properties and Northern Michigan Vacation Rentals, buying, selling, and renting properties in the Straits of Mackinac region since 1998, Tim's Collision Plus in Roscommon, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and Dr. Robert Townsend in Denali Healthcare for your alternative health care needs.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.